Hey everybody, a quick introduction to today's episode. We have officially gone up to 2 episodes a week for the foreseeable. So on Mondays, I'm going to be doing a solo Q&A or a topic. And then on Fridays, is going to be an interview with some awesome guests that I've got lined up. Today's episode has been a great one to kick it off. I have interviewed Siobhan O'Hagan, who is an Irish fitness entrepreneur, influencer, and this was just an amazing episode. I'm so grateful I got Siobhan on while she was in Thailand. And we literally talked everything on this episode, from fitness to her background with obesity and following all the fad diets, to how she learned more about different nutritional strategies and training styles that worked for her that allowed her to have an incredible transformation. For those of you who aren't familiar, Siobhan's photos have gone viral on so many different social media platforms. Her before and after is incredible. I'll be linking it up on my platforms. And this episode was just on fire. We talked everything. It reminds me, for those of you who listened to the episode with Ross Edgley, we literally just back and forth on this episode with different books, her background in training, different mindsets that have supported her, her journey as a fitness person, and basically how she used Instagram to keep herself accountable and track her own progress, and how she was able to blow up a business as a result of it. So we jumped around, we talked everything on this. So I hope you get as much listening to it as I did recording it. So enjoy, and we'll kick off first interview in forever with Siobhan O'Hagan.
You're listening to the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where Irish fitness entrepreneur Brian Keane answers your questions and interviews leaders in the world of fitness, health, mindset, and natural wellness. Come join the fun.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today, I'm so excited to be joined by my guest, Siobhan O'Hagan, who's currently in Thailand as we record this. So we'll get into that a little bit more and the lifestyle entrepreneur that Siobhan is doing. Siobhan is a personal trainer and online coach. She originally studied maths in college, but her passion for training and healthy living encouraged her to take a risk and change careers, a risk that has definitely proved worthwhile from the sounds of it. Siobhan struggled with her weight growing up and tried every fad diet and exercise plan going. Her transformation has been seen all over the internet. It's absolutely ridiculous and crazy. I'm going to link it up in the show notes as well. And for this reason, she finds that she's really good at relating to other people's frustrations that struggle with fat loss and muscle building. Siobhan took her education and her dedication and has transformed her own body and is now doing that with clients that she works with. Siobhan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. What an introduction. Where did I write that?
No, that was me. I could have gone any direction with it. I'm like, Siobhan does everything.
Yeah. I know. People are like, so what do you do? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. A non-job. Like,
I mean, yeah, I the easiest thing to say is personal trainer. But, you know, I don't even do that like in person anymore. So it's all online. So my title is just like, and then, you know, then I'm like, you know, the guys over here, a lot of people over here are living off Instagram, like in Thailand are, you know, big Instagrammers, or they're all living off crypto assets. Like, no one really has a title over here, so it's fine. So when you go back to Dublin and your granny is like, what are you doing? That's, like, online coaching?
But it's amazing how the world has changed over the last even 10 years. Like, again, I struggled with that for the last, people still ask me what I do, no more than you, and I'm like, I coach people, or I write. Yeah. Like, something that you can, because it's not, in this day and age, and this is why your story is so compelling, is because you were in that kind of, going down that 9-to-5 rat race lifestyle, like, you know, and there's nothing wrong with it, you know, if you're someone that's doing that and you love it, by all means, but there's a percentage of people who that's not for, and you clearly got out of that and are living the dream now.
Yeah, and I think I find that balance really hard to, you know, because if someone's new to following me now, they see me putting up pictures beside a pool, been like, live your dreams, and you're sitting in your office in Dublin in the cold, been like, unfollow.
Yeah.
but what I'm trying to show is, like, what I'm trying to show is what is possible when you put your mind to it, if you really want something. I was that person in my office, miserable, like, and it's those people that I'm trying to talk to, like, to get through to. It's the people that aren't happy. Like, I have friends who work in an office and they love it and it's great and they've got mortgages and kids and they're happy. And once they're happy, I'm happy. But if they're doing it for, you know, ticking off social statuses or, you know, from peer pressure, I always think, like, just stop and think, are you doing it because you want to or because you have to? Which is a completely off the topic.
Yeah, but that, in fairness, though, anyone that's, they've heard me rant, anyone that listens to the podcast, and I go down that rabbit hole all the time. Again, happiness is always the end goal, because I regularly talk that when you put your happiness into external things, you're always going to seek external things to fuel that happiness. And I did it, you know, when I was doing a job, you're like, well, when I get the nice car, or the nice house, or I get that perfect six pack, or I get whatever it is, that's something that's nearly external to a degree, and you're putting all your happiness into what society thinks.
Like, people are asking me here, like, what are you going to do when you hit 100,000 followers? I'm like, nothing is going to change. My life is not going to change anymore. I don't have any more. They're like, can you get another blue tick? I'm like, you know, honestly, like, numbers don't, like, it's great to see, like, obviously you want people following you and it's great, but the number means nothing. You know, like, there's people with hundreds of thousands of followers, but, you know, it's because of aesthetic. Like, I'm kind of proud that I built up a following through just showing my journey, and you know, it's not because of, I don't think it's really because of what I look like or anything, you know, like, just as I said, like, I had to say that the other day. I was like, okay, I need to come to terms that I'm Irish, I'm ginger, I'm pale, I'm never going to be like one of those Instagrammers. So like, status, like, you know, people are like, oh, you're 30 this year, what do you do? You know, like, I'm happy, that's the main thing.
But it's funny, well, it's the social media and numbers in general, it kind of comes back to the age as well. Like, they're vanity metrics, you know. Like, the reason you have so many followers, and as someone from the outside and in the fitness, and again, obviously know your journey, it's providing service and helping people. Like, you're sharing your struggles, the things you found difficult, and your mess is becoming your message, and it's helping and serving other people. And at the end of the day, like, service is the currency of the universe. When you have provide and help people get what they want, you get everything you want. And one of the reasons you're probably able to do what you're doing is because you've helped so many people along the way, you know, either one-to-one coaching online now, or just through your message in general. And I think that is probably, just from the outside, is one of the reasons why you have the following you have.
I mean, I only set up the little Instagram account to, like, I suppose it was firstly to make myself accountable when I decided, I'll go back and, like, I suppose explain a bit, when I was in the office and I was, like, miserable, and someone said, well, what do you want to do all day? Like, I have a degree in maths and I had been working in a nightclub, and I was like, it's anywhere I can combine all these things. And I ended up doing, or someone said, what do you want to do all day? And I said, I want to stay in the gym. I was like, I just want to train at a normal hour. And so then they said, what about doing personal training? And just with the hours I was working, it didn't, the course didn't fit around the hours I was working. So I ended up going back to my old, like, an old job. I left a year before with, like, my tail between my legs. But, like, can I come back and work here because the hours are better? So I did that. But then I wasn't even in good shape. Like, I was like, how am I going to, everyone was like, oh, so you're going to work in fitness. I was
Talk me through that journey, miserable. Because your before and after is ridiculous. Like, it's crazy. Talk me through the journey in terms of the timeline of when you're like, I want to be in the gym all day, to what you were before. Were you in shape and got out of shape and then back in shape? Or
no,
like,
so as I said, every fad diet. So, like, when I did Weight Watchers, I was tiny. I was like, I remember my mom, then, like, can you please stop losing weight? Like, I was, you know, tiny, size 8. I was just doing lots of cardio and was earning my Weight Watcher points and all that. But my goal weight was like a stone and a half away. And my mom was like, you need to stop. So then I went to college and discovered, like, pints and wedges and garlic sauce, and then went the other way. And then I've somehow discovered weight training at some stage. Like, I was always, you know, I must have found it online or whatever. Oh God, it was all up and down. It was yo-yo dieting for years, like doing paleo, doing clean 9, doing everything. Special K diet was one that, like,
that's
when I was
one
in school,
that
I did
hurts
that.
My brain when you understand,
but it
nutrition.
Only
but it works.
It upsets, like, me, because I was in school, I knew nothing about nutrition. I was like, I need to lose weight, and it was like, this thing I saw on the telly was like, just eat cereal.
Great,
I used
advertising.
To call me cereal,
like, amazing,
killer.
Yeah. Amazing advertising.
Anyway, so then when it came to weight training, I went to a PT one day, and he taught me squat, bench, deadlift, and I was like, oh my God, that was fun. I was out running all the time, and I was like, apparently weight training is way forward. But I didn't keep going to him. I just went off myself and got really strong doing everything wrong. So, like, when I show my first before photo, it's from November 2014. And in that photo, I'm actually quite strong. Like, I could probably deadlift well over 100 kilos. But my diet was useless. Like, I was, you know, Monday to Friday, I was going to the gym and, you know, eat really clean and no treats. And then, like, Thursday evening would roll along, like, wine, and the weekend would roll into the weeks. And, like, so I would be trying to be really good most of the time, But then, like, even now, I always tell people, like, you know, they'd say they're good 90% of the time. And I'd say, well, you know, the weekend is 42%. Like, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, yeah, are 42% of the week.
Yeah.
So when I cut that on, I said, right, I'm going to get a personal trainer and actually do this properly. So set up my little Instagram account just to make myself accountable. And so when I tidied up my diet and started training, like, properly for hypertrophy, because I already had a lot of muscle and strength, it looked like a really dramatic transformation.
But it was all underneath, and I kind of was like, it was just,
yeah, it was there. Yeah. And so I try and tell people that in the first photo, because they're like, I'm the first photo, how do I get to the second photo? And I'm like, well, actually, in the first photo I had a lot of muscle. So I just started ticking away, and like, I was kind of surprised myself. Like, I shocked myself when I started seeing like definition of my stomach. Like, that was just something I never ever thought possible. Even at my skinniest, I was always like, when I was out running a lot, like just doing cardio, I never had any kind of definition. And so that kind of kept me going. And then by people started following me, I was like, God, I can't keep this up this time. Like, I actually have to keep going now.
Yeah.
And I liked that, you know, that people were, you know, were following my journey. And I was so then I was working so hard, though. Like, I was working in the office full time. And by January 2015, I was starting my PT course in the evenings. And a lot of people in my course were kind of like, God, it's terrible, we don't have time to train anymore. And I was like, no, but like, I need to make my own advertisement. Mm-hmm. So I was up at 5 a.m. every day training. I had like 3 or 4 bags. So I had like a bag for training. And then I was getting changed, got to get the bus into work. And I got on the bus and work, I'd be doing my Instagram post for the day. And then in work, I was working more on Instagram. and then after work, well, I hope they're not listening. Then after work, I was, although my manager, he was sound. We were on the same page at that stage, because I only took a 6-month contract. So he was like, they knew at the end I was going to be a personal trainer. So it was kind of like, he understood if I was leaving at bang on 5 to go to college every evening. Although he was like, would you stop putting up pictures in the jacks of your belly? Like, you following me? So anyway, I just worked so hard those few months. Like, I was shattered, but I just knew I had to keep going. So I just kept training. My body kept getting better. People were like seeing how busy I was and seeing the changes. And I think people were like, oh, okay, you know, I was all about like no excuses, hustle, yeah, you know, like Gary Vee was my idol. And I was like, if you want something, you can get it. Like, if I can, I was like, I'm just a normal person. If I can change my body, then, and I was gathering all these followers and I didn't know what I was going to do with it. Like, everyone was messaging me going, okay, I will pay you to train me. And I said, like, wait until I'm qualified. But it meant then, when I was qualified in June 2015, I like had a waiting list of clients. Straight away, I just paid a gym to like rent off them and went in, and I was flat out busy. And I almost felt like a fake, or like, usually after a personal training course, you don't really know anything at all. I felt like, you know, I didn't deserve all this following, but I kind of just stuck to the people that I knew. Like, it was people like me, it was girls like me that wanted to change their body. And, you know, I felt like I was doing it differently to everyone else. I was like, no, we're actually going to eat more. And you're going to not do the 20 minutes cardio at start, and you're going to, or, you know, at least not with me. Like, I'm not going to spend 20 minutes of the session doing cardio if your goal, it depends on the goal. But like, I was obviously dealing with just people with body composition. But then I got to a point where I was like, oh God, oh yeah, living the dream, you know, managed to change my life. And then I was like, I was just like overwhelmed with too much work.
Yeah.
Like, life as a personal trainer is so much harder than everyone makes out, you know. 100%. Like, everyone on Monday morning going living the dream. I'm like, no one wants to skip a 5 a.m. on a Monday.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how much, like, I kind of felt like everyone was like pretending to love their life. Like, when you're training 6 clients in a row, like, it's just not feasible to be yourself even with everyone, you know. Like, you're going to be shattered. So I kind of had to sit down. That was a bit of a shock, because I was like, okay, I thought I'm after doing everything to get to this point. And I had to kind of reassess and think, what do I really, really want? Yeah. And there was a lot of journaling, and it came down to it. I was like, I just want to be free and happy. And I was like, okay, that means I need to have more time to myself. So I just was like, okay, money didn't really come into it. So I was like, right, I'll just cut down the hours I'm doing. Like, I was making loads of money, but no time to spend it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Cut down the hours I was doing, which meant, you know, I either had an afternoon or morning every day off. So it meant that when I went into my clients, I was a happier person. Yeah. I was able to deal with them better. They were getting more of me for their money. So, like, you know, it was an investment in my business, I suppose, when you look after yourself first. And then, yeah, that was going really well. I loved training people one-on-one. Like, there's a girl out here in Thailand who I've been, like, really good friends with since she came to me to train her. And I was like, God, did you do any training or did we just talk? Like, I love talking to people.
You're that kind of person, though. You've got that kind of social aspect. It lends perfectly to that kind
talking.
Of... Yeah. We were literally on here for like 10 minutes before we pressed record. We're like, geez, will we just press record and start talking?
That's probably why. I mean, the social media, I just kept posting away on social media as well. It was just like what I was up to. And then I had followers kind of all over the world at this stage. So I knew, like, online coaching was something, you know, people were picking up on it, but I just saw, I'd seen a lot of people doing it wrong. So I did, like, a course, I did Jonathan Goodman's online coaching course, and found that really good for getting some systems in place, and it really helped me, like, just getting systems in place instead of just, like, telling people, oh, yeah, contact me 24/7.
Well, everything
coaching is
a system for to scale.
Yeah.
Systems build. Like, McDonald's, It makes billions of dollars every year because it's got the best system. Again, the health side, whatever it is, but everything comes down to systems. So it sounds like you were able to make that jump.
Yeah, I did that, and it was a lot of, and then I was still doing a little bit of one-on-one. I wasn't taking on any new clients, so like just the ones I had, and I'm fast forwarding through like 3 years there, but then January last year, I started my competition prep, which is another story, but, I was really efficient. I decided then to change my online coaching model altogether, with my a friend of mine who kind of is really good at the computer side of things, which I always was. Like, I did everything myself. Like, my background was in financial software.
Yeah.
You know, everything kind of came together that I was doing everything myself. But now one of my friends helped me set up, we call it the O Fitness Factory and O Fitness Furnace. And it's essentially, the content is done. So I've recorded like 12 weeks of videos and training and mindset. And again, that's the reason, is it's because it's so scalable.
Yeah.
And it means that I can price it really low so that it's more accessible to a lot of people. But at the same time, I don't oversell what I'm doing either. Like, it's literally aimed at one type of person. It's like the people who are, you know, in the gym, they don't really know what they're doing. You know, or else they're eating really clean and they feel like they're training away and they're just not getting the results. So it's that kind of people that I'm like, this is for you. So, but it's kind of been hard, you know, like, as a qualified personal trainer, like, I find, especially being so busy at the start, it wasn't just imposter syndrome. Like, I was getting called out by a lot of, like, say, well-qualified guys and girls who've been in the industry a long time.
This is the most recent study. Oh, yeah, the most recent study that'll change in a year's time. But yeah, I won't go down that rabbit hole.
I always found that kind of tough. But now I feel like, so I'm kind of fast forwarding through my whole life in the last 3 years. But so now I've got the online coaching's gone really well. With the clients I had, I kind of told them, I was like, look, I kind of realized that travel was really a passion of mine.
Yeah.
I had no ties at home or anything. So I said, look, and I didn't want to mess them around with, you know, kind of being there 1 week and not next. And so my way of working was always to empower people, like to teach them rather than, you know, have them reliant on me. So it was easy enough to kind of hand them off themselves, or else they did my online coaching. That's basically why I'm now sitting beside the pool in Thailand.
I love it. Like, it's so funny.
I don't even know if I touched on fitness there at all.
But we will come into that. But it's just, it's. I love that the, you know, Jack Canfield quote, success leaves clues. And I know a lot of people are in a similar position, and I'll speak to those people that are, you know, would love to do what Siobhan is doing, or would love to do what I'm doing, because a lot of you know my story, and the amount of similarities in everything you've just said to what I've done. And again, I'm in a very fortunate position. I have that. I don't travel as much because obviously Holly, my daughter, is here. But when she's older, I'll be bringing her with me. Like, and it's funny because success leaves clues, you know, wanting to scale up, knowing who your market is, know exactly who you're talking to, you know, building systems, all of these things is what allows you to scale up and, you know, live a life of freedom, which is effectively what you do. I hear you say that a lot, you know, and you're walking example and testament to that. So in terms of fitness then, what was the biggest, from when you went from, say, being super strong to being leaner, what was the biggest thing that made that shift? Was it the nutrition? Was it the training? Was it the combination? Was it your mindset in general? Did you know what to do and just didn't do it?
I actually would put it down to consistency. Consistency across the week, across months rather than kind of doing like any kind of 6 week things, or it was just like, there's a lot of things, mindset as well, because it went from me being like, I just want to lose weight, to my goal became more specific. You know what they say, like, to find your why.
Yeah.
I had to make a career out of it. Like, yeah. I was panicking. I felt like I was running off a cliff, and I had no savings. When I left my job in June 2015, I remember leaving on the Friday evening. I had no savings or nothing. And I was like, but I had clients built up purely on my results.
Yeah.
I learned a lot. I suppose I learned kind of how Instagram worked. And, you know, I realized that, like, even now, I'm like, it's not me being, like, me taking selfies in the mirror. It's not even me being vain.
Yeah.
It's me knowing what people want to see. It's about being relatable. Sorry, I keep going off the fitness thing.
Well, it keeps you accountable. No, it does. It ties in because it keeps you super accountable. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the biggest thing when someone comes to me, like if someone was come to me, I say it's normally that they're either, usually they're training more of a cardio kind of endurance way when they're trying to build muscle. I mean, they want to build muscle. Yeah,
but they don't know
how. But they're training too much in the kind of cardio endurance and under eating.
And that was, you know, and that was effectively what you were doing, and you made the transition.
Yeah, no, I was actually the other end. I was more like power training. You know, yeah. I was a power lifter nearly. And my brother said that to me. He's like, I was really strong. Like, I remember like deadlifting really strong. And I was like, it's not strong with a new skinny. I was like, why am I skinny yet? And he was like, he goes, do you want to be a power lifter or a bodybuilder? And I was like, neither. And he was like, well, power lifters care about the number on the weight. And I was like, bodybuilders care what they look like. And I was like, I just want to be like lean.
Yeah.
And so he's like, well, you need to start training for hypertrophy. Like, my brother was like 17 and learned all these things off YouTube.
Yeah.
And I got him to like write out what he meant. Like, I was like, can you put all this in a document for me?
Yeah.
I didn't really listen to him until I got a really good personal trainer who kind of hammered home those points and got me eating more and just by making myself accountable. Like, I remember him saying, take a picture today. And I was like, oh no, I'll take one next week.
Yeah.
And he was like, take it today. And it's so funny because that picture I use nearly every week for my like transformation. Like, it was,
yeah,
it is that photo that I look back on and be like, you know, that was the start of the rest of my life, I think. But like, so anyone coming to me, I always say, it's normally they're not training for hypertrophy. And, you know, people listening might not even know what that means. It just means to build muscle.
Yeah.
And because it goes against everything like we've learned growing up, like it goes against the clean 9 or the Special K diet or the Weight Watchers, you know, it's about fueling your training rather than training. Like I always say, I eat to train rather than training to eat.
Yeah.
So I'm not training to earn calories. I'm not training to, you know, like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get up in the morning, have a big bowl of oats so that I can lift really heavy for my 8 to 12 reps. And like, the thing is, I always think, like, I say it so much that I'm like, it's not obvious by now, but people still message me and they're like, how do I get a toned tummy? And how do I, and like, I'm always nearly trying to, it's always hard trying to say the right thing all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not trying to, like, I'm not trying to bash cardio at all. I'm just trying to make everyone understand, you know, like I kind of said this on Snapchat or on Instagram last night. I was kind of talking about it. Like, if you want to do cardio, if you want to do CrossFit, if you want to play football, that's amazing. But just know what path you're on. Like, if your goal is so, like, if your number one goal is to change your body composition, maybe running isn't the way to go. Like, if you're looking after your cardiovascular health and everything, like you want a healthy heart, go running. Or if you enjoy running, go running. For me, I was only running because I thought it was going to make me skinny.
Yeah.
So that's, I just stopped doing it. Like, I wasn't doing it for enjoyment. And I think, yeah, it's kind of hard to get that message out there, like posting on Instagram a lot and trying to get the right message out. Then I'm like, yeah, you need to eat loads. And then at the same time, I'm trying to talk about dieting because obviously it's loads, but in moderation.
Yeah, and context is key, because when you don't have 20 minutes to talk on it and it's just a post, it can be misinterpreted. But that's why what you're saying can never be, like, I love the Seneca quote that the things that should be said cannot be said enough. And it's like those messages repeated, even if you say them every day for the next 10 years, it'll hit somebody that needs to hear it at that moment. You know, it'll hit the Siobhan of 7 years ago. You know, it'll hit the person listening that's like, oh, actually, that's what makes sense. That's how I look like Siobhan, or that's how my body composition to change, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the amount of inspirational quotes you can put up and, you know, about, you know, it's all worth it in the end, or if you don't want it bad enough. And I'm just thinking, I used to read these quotes and they just go over my head.
Yeah.
But now, like, I wish I had literally stopped and looked and, or read the quotes and took in the meaning, because there is meaning behind all these quotes. They're not just, like, I always feel like I put something so profound under my pictures, but I'd say, like, if it's, you're not in the right mindset to hear it, it just, it'll just go over your head.
They're just words. They're just letters. When you're not in a position to, and I get it. It's so funny because I'm literally the exact same. If you'd given me any of the quotes that I live my life by now, I definitely saw those quotes in my early 20s and was just like, it would just went whoosh right over my head because I wasn't in a position to accept it. It's why one of the reasons that I reread my favorite books is because I know in a year's time I'm going to be in a different stage of my life and the messages that I get will be completely different and quotes are the exact same, you know?
It's funny, I'll tell you a funny story, because my friend used to, whenever I was in, I used to work with my friend, and whenever I was in a bad mood, she used to send me these inspirational quotes. Like, we were like on over the, like, the, you know, the barrier. I'd look at her on, like, what? And then she moved to Australia. And then while she was gone is when I started changing my life. And I started posting all her quotes on Instagram. And she was like, are you serious? I was like, they're actually really good. I was like, it meant nothing to me then. But I was in the right mindset then to kind of read them and take it in. And I'm a huge believer in the law of attraction. It's so funny because I studied physics and I'm all like, everything happens for like a very physical reason. But the law of attraction has happened to me so much that like I can't ignore it. And it's like, if I just, I'm trying to tell people, if you just envision it. Like, I was like, laptop lifestyle, I wanted people on my laptop beside the pool, and now I'm just on my phone beside the pool working. And it's, I mean, I can give you a million more examples.
But it's law of attraction with action. But your walking example of, like, I'm the same with you. But just to give context, because anytime anyone brings up things like The Secret and stuff, I'm a huge fan of the law of attraction. But you're walking example of law of attraction with action. Because
that's what I believe it works.
Someone that gets up at 5 a.m., trains, goes to their job, goes to their course, that's a grinder. But when you combine those two things, like the power intention, law of attraction, whatever name you want to put on it, and put that with action, what, my God, the thing, it's mind-blowing. Yeah. Like, you feel woo-woo, and you feel like when you're telling the stories, as you said.
Yeah, I'm like, I wouldn't believe it myself. I'm trying to tell people, and they're like, okay. To the point where, like, I had said out loud, I need to get an electric BMW because I wanted to be like Paige Hathaway. Like, that was a joke. Like, and one thing led to another. Like, 6 months later, BMW got in touch and offered me to drive their electric BMW. And I was like, no one's even going to believe me if I tell them this. This is crazy. Like,
but that's amazing, though. Like, that's, it's literally, as you said, like, I live my whole life by the, if you can see it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand. And the law of attraction is just feeds on that. Again, I'm not necessarily saying the secret way of sit down, and like, Siobhan wasn't sitting at home going, I want a BMW. She was fucking grinding and working on Instagram, following, and then BMW came to you, you know. But you got to put that out there in the universe for it to come back.
But the same with the fitness. I think people are looking at, you know, seeing me with abs, and they're like, oh God, no, I don't want to, like, I wouldn't be able to get abs. And I'm like, I never thought that. But, and even sometimes if the goal seems so, so, so far away, it's just about taking a small step each day. Like, I always, especially when it comes to fitness, I'm like, just be the best version of yourself today. Don't worry about how far away something or how close, like, this wedding is or whatever. Like, all you can do is the best you can today. Don't worry, like, the short-term, you know, short-term goals are tough because, you know, especially when it comes to fitness, because people want to, like, drop fat really fast and starve themselves and over-train and cardio, and it's kind of detrimental in the long run. So, like, I'm like, just be the best version of yourself day to day, and it all just adds up. And all of a sudden, you look at yourself and go, whoa, that didn't happen. Well, not right now.
But it's probably, you know, it's process, though. Like, everything is about loving the process. Like, I love the Buddha quote that if you can't be happy on the journey, how will you be happy at the destination?
Just, you're great for a quote, aren't you?
I literally live my life by the way I work. I'm so visual that I just tattooed a load of quotes on my brain. And I'm like, right, I'm going to apply my life with this quote. And I'll pull this one out. I'm done now. No more quotes.
Very good.
They're finished. You know, but they help. They help me analyze it. They help me break down, like, more complicated things for my life. It's why I apply them and I try and apply them well. But you're a living example of it. Process is everything, and what you do with your clients.
Yeah. And like, that's what it comes down to with training, like, especially my clients, like, when it comes to my nutrition and stuff, like, I keep it very simple. Like, I'm very much
what do you eat? Talk me through that.
I'm very much all about the macros. And the reason I think, again, it's for education. It's so that people know what they're eating rather than telling people to eat this, eat that. I'm convinced, I don't know if this is a thing, but like, I feel like I'm a fat kid at heart. Like, I only learned about this today, but I'm, you know, the fat cells, and you always have those fat cells. Yeah. That, you know, anyway, that's another story. But so I have chocolate or ice cream every day, like, especially over here. Like, I just think adherence is the big thing that I need to address with my clients. It's more so than like carb manipulation or looking at anything kind of high end. It's about motivating people to stick to their macros over the weekend. Yeah. Like, it's that simple. And it's so when you have that consistency, and you know, it's working on the layers, it's, you know, looking at your stress and everything, like, people stress themselves about macros. I'm like, okay, hold on, we don't want you under stress. That's just then, you know, it's about, I suppose, obviously everyone's different, but for me, I like to get my macros because I, you know, I eat lots of good whole food. I eat lots of like my turkey burgers, you know, like Kerrigan's. I think people thought I invented them. Like,
yeah, I've seen them. They always come up
on. So much. I know. And like, I am the brand ambassador, but like, it's just, they've saved me so much. Because I'm very much about quick, easy food. So like, I just, like, once it fits my macros, I'm getting better at like getting my greens in and all. Obviously, like, you know, you have to look at the micronutrients as well. And carbs. And I was like, okay, there's no reason to be afraid of carbs if you're actually keeping an eye on how much you're having. So, and then every day, you know, like, I'm kind of, it makes you look at some products and stuff, you know, like, you see like buzzwords like protein, and you know how to read labels, then you can make informed decisions. Like, I think someone quoted me when I was doing the talk there a while ago. I was saying, you know, like, if you have hit your protein goals for the day and you're looking at whether to get a Snickers or a protein Snickers, and like, the normal Snickers is 90 cents and the protein Snickers is €3, and you've eaten good whole food all day, just get the Snickers.
Yeah,
just eat
100%.
The Snickers. Like, you don't have to have a protein bar.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of maybe annoyed a few protein bar people with that.
Oh, you're in good company there, so.
I know. No, it's just, I mean, the thing is, then I'm like, okay, but, or if you're struggling to get your protein in,
get the protein
bar, and you want some chocolate, then have a protein bar. But I think by knowing your macros and by learning about your food, it's easier that way to make informed decisions. I'm very number, obviously my maths background, I'm very numbers orientated. Like, so I'd be looking at the plate and like adding it up in my head. Because at the start, it's very tedious. Like, when people start, they're like, I cannot do this for the rest of my life. And you don't have to. Like, I think you just learn about a lot of foods and you learn to make decisions. You know, like, there's people having bulletproof coffee in the morning trying to drop fat. And I'm like, well, if you just track, you know, you might realize that you'd rather eat that food in the evening. You might find it easier to stick to your diet than, you know, the tiny little fat burning advantage you might get from having MCT oils in the morning. So I'm very much about the flexible lifestyle, you know, but obviously health is important as well. I just like eat loads of good food and have treats every day.
Yeah, well,
it fits my macros.
That helps you stick to adhering to it. You know, I had Ross Edgley on the podcast recently. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Ross. He did the
I heard him before.
Oh, he's like the world's strongest.
He's mad, isn't he? Yeah.
Like, he fucking pulled I can't remember what it was, a 1.4 ton Land Rover or whatever it was for a marathon distance. He did it for whatever it was, 42 kilometers. He was talking about that adherence. He was like, he goes if you eat a pizza every night and it's keeping you stay on track with everything else, he goes, eat a pizza every night, you know. And personality type is key, you know. I'll only use myself for context. I fall on the opposite side. I can go all or nothing. I can eat super clean for 2 weeks and have no chocolate, but if I eat it, I'm like, oh, I want it all. Like,
I used to be like that. And that's why I would never go all or nothing, because then it would be like bad, you know, like, so now, yeah, like, I'm over here and I'm just completely estimating macros. Like, people are like, how are you doing it? How do you eat out if you're counting macros? And like, just estimate. It's consistency over like going, oh, I can't count them, so I might as well just eat everything. I've been estimating, like, so I get this ice cream made in front of me, and it's funny because all that's in it is protein. Like, I literally scoop of protein, peanut butter, and almond milk, and it's just frozen in front of you.
Oh,
like,
that's because
it's frozen, it's like ice cream. But it's just helping me every. I'm like, I'm gonna have that every evening, so that like when I'm having my chicken and broccoli earlier in the day, and like, I enjoy it. Everything I eat, I enjoy. I don't eat anything I don't like. But like, yeah, I never feel like I'm on a diet. Ever. which is really important to me because I don't feel like it's a short-term thing. And like, it's one thing when I start, when any of the ladies start in the old fitness furnace and they're like, oh, I think I, you know, I have them, I let them, I teach them how to work out their macros. And like, and yeah. they're all like, every time it's always like, hi, I think I made a mistake. This says like, I have to eat 2000 calories. I'm only eating 1300. And it's great because I don't even say anything, like, because it's in the Facebook group, like the other ladies are like, no, I was the same. I thought that, like, you actually get to go and enjoy your food. Like, you don't have to feel like you're dieting and you will see results. I love that. Like, that's what I'm about. I want people, because I think it comes down to happiness as well. Like, yeah. I mean, you could get people shredded a lot easier, but, or with kind of more extreme ways. But I think
you eat chicken and broccoli for 6 weeks, you'll get lean, but you won't stick to it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, before and after photos, I don't really share that many, like, even myself. I mean, I've always used my own, but I never kind of shared clients really on my own page or anything. I've recently set up a fitness furnace just because I hate doing hard sell on my own page. Like, I never really talk about it on my own page.
Yeah.
But before and after photos, like you say, I don't like using that as a selling point because you look at someone's before and after photo and then you need to ask for like the after photo because if they've got extreme measures to get into that shape, they're more than likely not going to keep it up. And 6 weeks later, they're probably more like the before photo.
But the key, the power of words, even what you're saying, diet, it's funny because I spoke with this on my Snapchat yesterday and you literally just said it there that you don't do a diet, it just becomes the way you eat. And even the power of words, when you even use the word diet for something, it implies I'm doing it for a certain period of time until I get to a certain point and then I'm going to go back eating the way I always did.
Yeah, yeah.
You change it to the way you eat or a nutritional strategy or whatever it is. The power of that alone, as you said, empowers your clients to do it forever, like long after they're finished.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure when I say my diet, when I refer to that, I just mean like what I take in. And it's funny because I wouldn't even think of it like, I'd say other people would hear the word diet and they'd be like, okay, this is the phase that she's doing at the moment.
Yeah.
But like, this is just everything I do.
Yeah.
And I just, everything I eat. And I think people, you know, and I've always been very, like, there has been days where, you know, I haven't stuck to my macros. I've just gone wild and had the pizza and had the Ben and Jerry's. And, but I just, the next day, just get back on it. Like, nothing dramatic. Don't drop my calories. Just get back to it. And because there's no end point, you know, it's not like I'm doing this for an end point. It's not like I need to hurry things along, so I better drop my calories back. It's like, just get back to it. And just next time, maybe realize, remember how you feel this morning.
Yeah.
And that you didn't really need the Ben and Jerry's and the pizza. You know, so stuff like that. It's about kind of seeing the positive in everything as well and moving forward.
Well, that's it. Well, the thing is, as you said, every, you know, quote unquote failure where you fall off for a whole day is a learning curve to, oh, I felt horrible the next day. Or maybe you felt amazing and you're the best training session ever because your body needed it.
Yeah.
You know, listen to the feedback that your body's telling you, because at the end of the day, you can calculate all the macros and that will work for 95% of the time. But sometimes you may just need to binge out on it because your body needs it. You know, and obviously you're learning from it every time you do it, and so are the people you're working with. Okay, so I know your schedule, Siobhan, at the minute is probably all over the place with being in a different country. It's never the same as, you know, when you're at home. But you've talked a little bit how your evenings work. You obviously train every day and then you have your, you know, your ice cream, your protein ice cream at the minute. What does your first, you know, 60 minutes or 90 minutes of your day look like? Like, one of the things that I'm really obsessed with hearing on people that are doing, you do everything and you're so successful in all the things that you do and that have applied in your life. There's normally something in the morning routine or in a lot of people's day that sets them up. Do you have anything like that? Or do you, what was your first hour?
Yeah,
hour and a half
morning
your day
routine
look like?
Is really important to me. Because I'm actually like, I can never, I'm really, in the evenings, I'm like, can't function. I'm so tired. I've always been a morning person. So like, I've always trained early in the morning, always woken up early, like my mother hated. Anyway, so now at the moment, like, I used to obviously be the phone stays face down until I read for 20 minutes. Because I can't read it. Like, if I get into bed to try and read at night time, like, gone.
Yeah, eyes.
So I read, like, I always have a couple of different books on the go, like, sometimes fitness, sometimes mindset, sometimes business, sometimes travel. So just 20 minutes reading, like, and I think that's enough that you don't get bored. And if you just like airplane mode, like, you're not looking at your phone.
Yeah.
And I'm just fascinated by so many different subjects. So I I can read a book and invest. Anyway, so read for 20 minutes.
What's a book and invest in? I love a lot of people because that's kind of the area I'm going in now with a lot of my
Well, content. Like I went and looked. I look because, of course, everyone out here is like in crypto assets and they're like, oh my God, you're not in. And I'm like, no.
For anyone not listening, crypto is Bitcoin. Bitcoin, cryptocurrency. It's the blockchain. It's decentralized currency. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, so I just wanted to learn about that. So like I was reading book on crypto assets, but now I'm back reading The Intelligent Investor.
Benjamin Graham.
Yeah, because I had listened to it on Audible, but it went over my head.
Yeah.
And now, like, again, this is where, you know, it's funny how things work out. Like my maths degree and like a degree, like actuarial maths is kind of coming back to me now.
Yeah.
So I'm reading that. That's it. What else am I reading? I'm reading Gary Vee's new book.
Crushing It.
Yeah. I just got a book today called How to Do the Hard Things When Things Are Hard.
Nice.
I'll report back. Like lots of different things. Or I'd be reading on, like, I'm reading Supple Leopard at the moment, How to Become a Supple Leopard.
Yeah, I've read that as well, yeah.
Yeah, and they're all on the go at the same time. I actually set up a book club on Facebook because people were fascinated by it.
Oh, amazing.
Any books?
Yeah, I must get on that as well.
OH Book Club. I'll send you a link.
Yeah, send me the link. I'll link it in the show notes as well for anyone that wants to get on it. Particularly, I know a lot of you read a lot of my... I read 2-3 books a week or listen to. I'm big on audio. So anyone that... I'll link up Siobhan's book club on the show notes because it sounds like there's a lot of books there we both read and are interested in.
In the book club is divided into like there's one like kind of business finance book, there's one mindset book, there's one fitness book, and then there's a fiction. So I don't actually read fiction, but I know someone who does a lot, so I have heard you doing that. But like Thinner, Leaner, Stronger.
Yeah.
Bigger, Leaner, Stronger.
Yeah, Michael Matthews. Yeah.
I mentioned that in the book club, and everyone's like, "Oh my God, it's changed! It's made such a big difference." So highly recommend that. So my first I read, then coffee, always coffee. It's so funny. I never drank coffee growing up.
Any particular? You don't put anything with it. You don't put any MCT oil or butter or.
I use my protein flavor drops I have them. Well, I always have them. Yeah. But I hear sometimes I don't have them. White chocolate, delish. Nice. I genuinely like get excited for that. I'm never hungry in the mornings, which is strange because I'm hungry like every other hour of the day. so I have my coffee and then I sit down and do a to-do list. I used to meditate every day I'd use the Headspace app.
Yeah.
I got to a point where I'm like, do you know what? My head's pretty fine. And I was like, I could do those 10 minutes. So I haven't actually done that in a while.
Yeah.
But I do recommend it if anyone like it needs some Headspace. It's a good app. Read, meditate, journal. So just like things I'm grateful for.
Do you
things
use a gratitude
I'm excited
journal
about.
Or do you just write it on a page or how do you?
No, I had one. I kind of Dan Meredith's Get Shit Done.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen that? Yeah. So that's good for like planning my day, like, you know, and it's scribbling in what I'm going to do every hour of the day, and you know, making sure you just do the important things first. And I like that; it gets me organized. And then on the other side, I have just another journal which I just write. Yesterday, I'm glad that I, and then today, I'm excited for, and three things I'm grateful for. So that'd be things like I'd be like, God, I'm actually really grateful for this cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I'm like, or I'd be like, oh, I'm really grateful that I'm 30 and my four grandparents are still alive.
Yeah.
You know, like it's anything, like just, you know, it just makes you stop. And like, even if you're having a very bad day, it makes you realize that you have things to be grateful for. Or even just things that you might have done yesterday, you kind of forgot about. And you're like, I'm so glad I actually went to meet my, like this, I used it a lot when I was coming out of competition and I was like so obsessed with trying to stay lean. And I was like, do you know what? I'm glad I went for coffee with my friends instead of going to the gym. You know, like things like that. It made me kind of realize that's important to me. And yeah, so then I don't really eat until I'm hungry, which could be ages, like it could be like 10 or 11, which is ages when you're up at like 5:30, 6. But then once I eat, I'm starving. Waiting for my next meal, like the morning routine is pretty solid. I'm trying to implement it here as well. Like when I travel, I try and, you know, make sure I bring my journals, you know, make sure I have a book to read and just do the same thing, because once you're out of your routine or your habits, like it just seems so hard to get back into it.
Yeah, it's as you said, it's keeping that consistency with it. But it's so funny. Again, I'm going to bring it back. I feel like I'm a broken record. Success leaves clues. Your morning routine nearly mimics mine. Like, it's nearly, you know, some form of gratitude journaling, some form of laying out what I'm doing the day. I always listen to a podcast or audiobook for the first 20, 30 minutes to set my mind up. I have my phone face down in airplane mode and it doesn't get turned on until after an hour. Like, all these things. Again, find what works best for you.
I can only go, like, 20 minutes without looking at my phone.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I found what was happening for me was when I would turn on my phone, I used to scroll over and go straight onto Instagram or Facebook first thing in the morning, and it was putting me in this reactive state. And then I was reacting all day, you know, when you've got creative and reactive, you know, and sometimes you're better off just taking that time for yourself and you know, listen to a book, reading a book, whatever it is that works for you. It's going to be so individual, you know, experiment with what works. But, you know, there's a lot of things there. It's funny that gratitude, that one, when I heard about it first, and I heard about it on Tim Ferriss's podcast, but it sounds super woo woo to me, even though I know how important gratitude is. And I know that suffering ends when the gratitude begins. But I trialed it, and I found that it just, and again, understanding, you know, cognitive neuroscience, reticular activation system, the part of your brain that tells you what to focus on, I found that when I was framing myself up being grateful in the morning, it was looking at things I was grateful for all through the day. So it's amazing, and that's one that I recommend anyone try, because I still get that now. If I ever get that low or anxiety or that overwhelmed feel, which we all get, it's just a, you know, it's an experience that everybody and an emotion we'll all feel. But when you just stop and realize that, wow, I got to see my daughter today, or I got to have my coffee with my friend, or I got to go to the gym. You know, once upon a time, that was you were working in an office. You're like, I just want to be in a gym. Like, and
I actually remember that first time. I was like a Monday at 11 and I was in the gym and I was like, I did it. I was like, I just didn't want to train at 5. I was like, I'm so grateful to be able to train at 11 a.m. on a Monday. Like, this is the dream, you know, like where anyone else would be like, oh God, I have to go to the gym. I was actually just like, I'm so grateful I get to go at 11.
Yeah.
I remember that moment exactly. Yeah.
I love it. And it's so funny because you can even, anyone that's watching this on the video, like, you can see the smile on your face light up when that memory comes back, you know, and that's what being grateful for certain things does. It just changes your entire state. Tony Robbins talks a lot about your physical states and changing your state through your thoughts, you know, and when you think about all the things you're grateful for, all them, like, you can't be grateful and anxious at the same time. Like, it's something I do. I get really anxious sometimes at nighttime because your brain's constantly overthinking what's going on in the future. And then I'm like, oh, I got to do this tomorrow. And then you just calm it, be grateful for the things that happen during the day and be grateful for the things you get to do tomorrow. And then all that anxiety just subsides, you know?
Yeah, like, I have a very good example. I know we're like waffling a lot, but when I'm seriously, I love to talk. One of my auntie passed away like last year. And she was one of these most, like, she's talk about her for an hour. It's amazing. But when she passed, like, I knew, was like, not that I wasn't upset, like, there were tears, but I was so grateful that I had basically spent time living with her in Portugal. And I learned so much from her. She had done so many amazing things in her life, you know, like flying planes, being the first Dublin bus driver, female bus driver, and just loads of things. And when she passed away, I was like, do you know what? I am so grateful for everything she's done, you know. And I was more like, it's the life in your years or in the years in your life. And I nearly felt bad. I'm like, am I not breathing enough, or am I just in that kind of mindset where, like, nothing control me? Like, I was like, it was sudden, but I was like, so I was obviously a bit upset. I mean, I was upset, but I think because I'd like practiced this grateful, positive mindset all the time, I felt like, okay, I can handle this. Yeah, I think it just comes to practice. Like, seeing any situation, like anything, like I try and see it in anything that happens. I'm like, okay, hold on, what's the positive in this?
Yeah.
And it can be, if you're trying to say that to someone else, it's not the right mindset. They could probably find it quite condescending.
Yes,
but it works for me.
Yeah, and it works for a lot of people, because at the end of the day, nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And there is a positive in everything, you know. And when you frame your mind to see the positive or be grateful for things, when somebody close to you dies, you know, and I know from personal experience, you end up, your go-to is, I'm so grateful that I got to spend 30 years with that person, or whatever it was, you know, your age is, as opposed to, why are they gone now, you know? And again, that's just the way, it's the same situation, but applying two different thought processes to it. you know. It's such a powerful thing, Siobhan. I love it. What we'll do now, Siobhan, this is one of my favorite parts of the show, because it's just kind of some rapid fire questions.
If anyone's still listening,
they're 100% anyway. And be sure to hit me and Siobhan up on Instagram. I have all our links on the social medias and in the description. Let us know how you found the episode as well. This has been one of these. It reminds me of my episode with Ross, where we're just like chatting. It's like, oh shit, we pressed record. Like, you know, going away from like a structure, like point. So everyone that's listening, be sure to hit me up and hit Siobhan up. Let us know how you found it. But Siobhan, for the rapid fire questions, basically you can one word answer these. You can expand on them. They're rapid fire, but some people will expand. And it's just kind of a couple of curious things that I want to know, and I'm sure people listening want to know.
Okay. All right. Letting you're nervous.
Yeah. No, you're fine. There's nothing too bad. So first question, when you think of the word successful, who's the first person that comes to mind and why?
My auntie Roisin.
Yeah.
But, and I'll just tell you quickly why, because she's one of these really, really smart people, and she could have been like head of a corporation, but she was happy selling boat trips in Portugal with her family.
Yeah.
And that's what I was like, okay, she's happy.
And she built her
life. Successful.
Again. And it's funny because I love, Warren Buffett. You're familiar with Warren Buffett. He's Berkshire Hathaway owner, Coca-Cola, one of the richest men in the world. And he always says, if you tell me who your heroes are, I'll tell you where you'll be in 10 years, you know. And it sounds like a lot of that freedom and happiness that you're applying in your life. So I'm sure she'd be super proud. Next question. What purchase of €100 or less has most positively affected your life in the last 6 months? It may have been something, because you're an influencer as well as running a business and entrepreneur and all the things you're doing, it may have been something you were sent, you know, so feel free to go with that.
I really don't buy many things. Like, I'm not... to be honest, it's probably be like a plane ticket or a night in a hostel or what? I don't know. I'm all about experiences rather than things. Like, I've all Apple products, but they're not under €100.
Yeah.
My AirPods.
But experiences.
I'm all about experiences, yeah. So probably like a night in a fancy hotel. I went at a steak dinner with my mom. That was probably the best.
That's, I love it. Well, experiences are, it's one of those things that I think it comes a little bit with age, comes a little bit with knowledge and knowing yourself and self-awareness, that you can buy the new car, you can buy the expensive external thing, the new dress, the handbag, and you will 100% get that dopamine rush initially. But in how many times have you bought something, a new jacket, and you're like, oh, or new shoes or a new dress or a new car, and you're like, oh my God, I'm so happy, this is amazing. And then 3 months later, it's just a dress, it's just a car, it's just but experiences you remember for, you know.
Yeah, no, I don't really buy clothes. I mean, like, I'm more like going to Penny's if I need anything. I'm not a shopper.
Yeah.
I buy all my Apple products, but that's like business, I suppose. I need it for work.
Exactly.
To travel.
And they are the best, in fairness. Like, next one, you mentioned a couple, but I'm kind of curious, what book do you think everyone on the planet should read? So not necessarily your favorite book, and I know you read so much. Is there any book that you're like, I think the majority of people listening to this would benefit from reading that book?
I've already mentioned Thinner, Leaner, Stronger, and that's very much fitness, but The Chimp Paradox.
Yeah, great book.
I think it's just the way I look at situations. And like, someone pulls out in front of me in traffic, I'm like, okay, it's on you, chimp. You know, yeah. I think it's a really good one for looking at situations and being able to deal with life, I suppose.
It's brilliant for, it nearly gives that negative emotional response that you have. So when someone cuts you off in traffic or someone's being, you know, nasty to you, it gives you, and particularly with social media, it gives a grade because, you know, you're going to get negative comments. I get negative comments. Anyone with any, that puts their thoughts out there for the world to see, you're going to have a percentage of people come back with negative comments. And if you get that like, feeling, it's your chimp. It's your alter ego. It's putting a name on it. It's your reptilian brain. It's your Labrador brain, depending on what name you give it. So that's an awesome recommendation. I'll link that one in the show notes as well. Next question. What have you changed your mind about in the last few years? And I'm going to go away from this one because I'm sure for you it was going from the fad diets and that style of lifestyle to what you're doing now. Is there anything else that you've changed your mind about in the last few years? Just to give you an example.
Well, I think...
Okay, go for on. It. If you've got, go for it.
I have one.
Normally, I need an example.
Just talking about it. Well, I suppose it was doing the bikini competition last year. Like, I did that at the best prep. I was like, I'm only going to do it as I'm going to do it happily and healthily, and that I can travel and not affect my life. And I did it, and I nailed it. Like, well, I came second, and I was shredded. Yes, and I was like,
who prepped you? Did you? Was it Amanda that prepped you?
Amanda.
Yeah. So I've got that.
So she's an amazing coach. Yeah.
She was on the podcast as well.
But since then, it's been so hard. Like, putting on weight, trying to be okay with it, messed up your head so much. I wasn't expecting that. Like, once I got the prep over it, I was like, this is grand. I'm nearly afraid that I nearly glamorized it too much.
Yeah.
And it was really struggling. It was really hard afterwards because I couldn't say online, be like, oh, I feel really fat today. It was like, I couldn't because I wasn't. And it was just, I knew my head was all messed up. Yeah. So like, I've completely changed my mind about competing, and that I don't recommend people to do it.
Yeah. The only thing is, it's funny because sometimes you have to go through the experience yourself.
Yeah.
Somebody can tell you, like, I can tell 100 people that exact experience because I had it when I used to compete. But until
I
you
literally
live
just
it,
said it to one of my friends. Yeah.
Until you live it.
I would have thought I was strong enough in the head. I really would have thought, like, nah, that wouldn't be me. Like, I'm very strong minded, but no, it's so tough.
But it's not down to mindset, it's down to actual physiological
hormones. Like,
hormones.
Yeah.
Your body are just, and you know, and you are strong in your mind because you were able to tell yourself, it's me that's off because my body's actually fine, but hormonally you just feel off, you know. It's really interesting to hear you say that as well. Next one, and again, you know, I'm a massive fan of a quote, and that's literally one of the I grasp to things and then I'm able to contextualize it to my own life. Is there any quote that you live by or refer to often?
She believed she could, so she did.
Love it. Who's that by, do you know?
No, I don't know. I read it once, so I held on to it in my head.
I love it. It's so
true. I'll find the author of it, and then I'll let you know.
It's awesome. Like, I love that. It's the Confucius was ancient Chinese philosopher. He's like, he who says he can and he who says he can't are both usually right. And it's kind of just and again, it's the message is similar. It's so powerful. And the last one for the rapid fire. What is something you believe that other people think is insane? Do you have any belief system that you're like, well, this supports me, but you tell it to people and they're like, oh, come on, Siobhan. Like, I've got about 10 of them.
I don't really know. That's a good question. I feel like because I put everything out there, I feel like everyone understands me. They probably don't. I mean, I suppose it's like travel. Like, everyone thinks you have to be loaded to travel. Like, you don't. You just have to make some sacrifices. Like, you just don't drink coffee every day, buy a plane ticket and go somewhere cheap. And I don't know. I just think, people think you have to live the 9-to-5 dream or life, and that that's normal.
Yeah.
And that I'm living, I feel like everyone thinks I'm living abnormally, but I think, I can't even remember the question now. I'm just waffling.
Why it's insane. Yeah, as you said.
Yeah, I think just live differently, and that's where all the fun is.
Yeah, I love it. It's awesome. And there's two great books I'm going to recommend on people who, about that travel. Thinking it's cheap. I'm sure you've read The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss.
I never did, and I tell you why. Because, well, first of all, it wasn't on Audible, so I never, like, that was where I listened to all my books.
Yeah.
And secondly, by the time I actually found it in paperback, I was like, I've already got it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've already got The 4-Hour Workweek, so.
Yeah, you figured it.
I don't think I can. Yeah. I was already only working like 4 hours a week. So.
Oh, there you go. Like, so that's it. Tim beat you to writing the book. I was like, that totally would have been yours. There's another great book by Rolf Potts. It's called Vagabonding, which is basically how you can travel the world. Really, really good read. It's a really short read. It's on audio.
Oh,
it's like
definitely.
2 hours. And it basically just tells you you can travel the world, all the different countries, the things that you need to know, snippets of, well, this is the cheapest place. This is where you can go. And, you know, and he talked about, I think he had like €3,000 or $3,000, and he traveled the world for a year on $3,000. It's crazy.
Amazing.
Like, he was just going to the different places and the experiences. It's a really, really good resource for anyone that's listening. Siobhan, I could talk to you for another 2 hours, but we'll wrap it up. Where is the best, you're on everything, but where is the best?
OH Fitness is me. I mean, my Instagram is my main thing.
Okay.
But OHFitness.ie is my website if you're interested in plans or anything like that, or even blogs on travel. And like, I kind of have all my FAQs there under blog posts. Instagram is my main thing. I'm like,
and what's the handle
on
Instagram, just so everyone knows they can search it? I'll have it linked up, but what's your handle?
It's OHFitness_IE. I don't know what I was thinking when I set up my account. Like, I didn't even have a website.
Yeah.
Went with that, like, stuck. Everyone knows me. He's like, oh, fitness. I'm like,
Do you say OH or do you say O Fitness? Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of know it's O Fitness. Yeah, no, it's O Fitness. But like the reason obviously was Siobhan O'Hagan. Yeah, yeah. That's really OH.
Yeah.
It was never like a strategic branding thing. I just kind of went with it.
Yeah, well clearly it's worked. There, I was going to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Siobhan, I will have linked up everything in the show notes. I'll link your Instagram, I'll link your social medias, I'll link the website, the book club. I'll get all of that and we'll put it in the show notes. I just want to say a massive thank you for coming on. I got so much from this. And I know we would have a different direction. So everyone that's listening, please be sure to hit me up on Instagram DM, hit Siobhan up, let us know how you found the episode, and hit me up on Snapchat as well, hit Siobhan up. What's your Snapchat handle? I know you were big on Snapchat for a while.
It's Shivsies. It's SIOBHSIES, one of those other things I couldn't change. Shivsies. I do use it a bit, but like I'm definitely more Instagram stories now.
Yeah.
I still use it sometimes, but not as much.
Instagram stories is the best place.
I do think Instagram's better. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's just cleaner.
But there's still like loads of people watching there, so I feel like I should be posting. Posting a bit more. I'll do my best. If anyone follows me after this, I will.
Yeah, deadly. All right. So if you're not following Siobhan, literally as soon as you finish this episode, go check her out. Go follow her on Instagram if you're not doing it already. Check out her Snapchat and check out her website for her blog and her programs and all of that. Siobhan, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Brian.